Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Brady will take one more snap with 5 seconds left. He's back to throw. Looks, fires down the left sideline. Deion Branch has it. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Wow.
Deion Branch from Tom Brady. The final play of the first half. Oh, my goodness.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Oh, yeah. Well, nice try, Cubs. I mean, Bears or whatever that team was that tried to show up in the snow with out of hibernation, or I guess they were hibernating. I don't know what it was.
The Bears are what we thought they were.
They were. No, they weren't. They were much worse. Men, am I still telling John Rook, men amongst boys, in this case was men amongst Cubs. Cubs! Cubs! Well, they almost scored double digits against the Patriots in the snow. It's just so funny to me again. I it's a tired old act with me, but it's my show, and I really don't give a crap. So I can do what I want. But I mean, to sit there on Sunday morning, it really is become comical for me. I don't even get mad. Honestly, I don't get mad anymore. I like to rant and rave about it. But it is comical. And I start early on Sundays, around 8 o'clock. And then start with NFL Network, and they come on around 9 o'clock with their stuff. And I must say, early on, the Mariucci piece with the Operation Game Table and Brett Favre's face, in case you missed it, and maybe it's on YouTube somewhere, was probably the funniest bit I have seen all year long. It was absolutely hysterical. But to hear some of these dopes all over the place try to analyze this game and come up with all the wrong conclusions, and yet I sit there and I start to scream at the television, and then I catch myself and I say, no, they're not even worth wasting my time or my breath about. I'll wait till I get on my show on Tuesday and talk about it. But it is amazing when you hear the people, some of them. Now, after the game was different. I'll tell you right now, as I interrupt my, after the game, 99.9% of the people think the Patriots, even locally and nationally, are the best team in the NFL. How could they not? All right. But it was so hard. When you hear people like Warren Sapp and Chris Carter and Inside the NFL on Showtime on Wednesday when they do the show. And then you hear their conclusions. And then reality sets in Sunday, and it's completely opposite, the antithesis of what they talked about on Wednesday. And these are, you know, that's why I some of these ex-athletes, I just don't put a lot of stock in what they say, because they're not really analyzing the game. What they're doing is just anti whatever team, and most times it's the Patriots. They cannot, some of these guys, bring themselves to just admit that the Patriots are the type of team and organization that are being modeled, should be modeled by every team in the NFL. They just don't get it. You hear Warren Sapp on a Wednesday and Chris Carter on a Wednesday, and then you try to figure out them, you hear them again on Sunday, after the games are over. I mean, you want to talk about fun for the whole family, laughter. I mean, it is unbelievable. Unless you just put the beep, beep, beep for the backtracking that goes on, and the Sunday post shows. It is just a joke to listen to some of these people. And you know, and then they have the audacity to think the Patriots aren't going to play well in the snow. What freaking planet do some of these people live on? What games have they been watching? You know, and then you got to hear, and then the best part is frauds like Shaughnessy and Borges who come out now and are writing all these glowing articles when after week two they lost to the Jets, they're predicting doom and gloom, and they've all been around before, and they know the situation, and maybe they don't know football as well as you think they do. Borges sure as hell, I don't know what Shaughnessy knows about, but I don't know if he knows about anything about football. He knows about curses and stuff like that. I'm not sure he knows really anything about football if you listen to him. I mean, he's great when the team's 11-2 and they're kicking ass all over the place. I mean, those columns are easy to write about. But looking at the bigger picture back in week two or three, like I was doing and some others, you know, and realizing that, you know, it's going to take a couple of weeks for this defense to come together, but you could start to see positive signs, with except for the Cleveland game. You could start to see a progression. Even week one against Kansas City, I mean, against the Cincinnati, you saw some things with McCourty. First play of the game. I mean, you saw some things. And then you started to realize that all this net yards they were giving up was a result of them being ahead by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 touchdowns in games. That was a big part of it. And now it cracks me up that the bandwagon people like Borges and Shaughnessy who jump on now You know, and then, and you know, they're just waiting like a snake in the grass for some little tiny thing to occur so they can pounce right on the Patriots again. Cracks me up. But so many freaking front runners. There's so many people out there who are in this business, in the media, who just don't get it as far as looking at the big picture. It is a complete overreaction one game to the next. It's either this or that. It's the pass or fail. Absolutely no in between. You can't do that. Right now, this Patriot team, you know the scary part? And this is the other thing I hate is when people say this. And I think in any sport, at any time, to say that a team peaked too soon, I think is ridiculous. And I saw some columns about it today, locally and nationally, about the 2007 Patriots peaking at the wrong time. I don't buy that. And if you remember correctly, that a blowout win at Buffalo, people remember the Philadelphia game and the Baltimore game of 07, and those games were tougher. But they don't remember them. You know, they pretty much manhandled the Jets in that crappy game here in Foxborough. It was a lousy, pretty windy, rainy day, and they still won by double digits. They blew out Buffalo in the end. They came back and ripped the Giants apart at the end of the regular season, put up 38, I believe, in that game when they were down by 14. All of a sudden, they just turned it on in the fourth quarter. I mean, I can't stand that term. People say peaking at the right, they're peaked too early. You can't peak too early. What are you supposed to do? Say, back off? You know, if the team steamrolls out to a 4-5-0 lead, you're supposed to say, okay, knock it off. Are the Celtics peaking too early now because they've won 10 in a row? Or dare I say the Knicks, are they peaking too early? They won 10 in a row? I mean, there's no such thing. You can't tell a team they're peaking too early. It doesn't make any sense. It's like all those old stupid columns Michael Gee used to write about, well, the Patriots should lose a game before the playoffs. Woohoo! Hello! Patriots should lose before the playoffs. Because that'll get their mindset going in the right direction. Well, he was saying that back in 03 and 04, and he wasn't the only one. That kind of mentality, the logic escapes me. But you have to be extremely happy of what you saw, and despite all the national pundits, now everybody's on board the Patriots bandwagon. Everybody is on board the Patriots bandwagon now. Everybody. I'm going to give Trent Dilfer a lot of credit. For some of the national guys that I rip a lot for their lack of knowledge regarding this Patriot football team, with past agendas, I got to give Dilfer a lot of credit because he's been on top of it even from the beginning, when the team was, not as dominant as they are now. But I mean, they've been. I tell you what, you go back over and look at some of these games and see when the Patriots have been up by double digits. I mean, more than three quarters of the season, it's unbelievable. You know, the scores they've been ahead by. I know a couple of them ended in closer games, but they've been ahead by a lot of points in a lot of these games. Not to mention the last two. I mean, what they do in bad weather is just absolutely amazing. What happened, what transpired on Sunday was just absolutely amazing. I mean, it was just, and the way Belichick coaches, and I know Boomer and Tom Jackson and brought it up, and rightly so, and I was thinking the same thing. It's almost like you're beaten before you even step on the field. And even though the Patriots went 3-and-out that first drive, and it did, I said, you know what, it's not going to matter, because I saw them come out and they put a 5-wide set out in a blizzard, and that first pass to Welker, I said, you know what, I texted a couple of friends and I said right there and then, I swear to God, I did this. I said, you know what, this game's over. You could just see it. I could just tell in the first series when Gronkowski scored that first touchdown, that game to me was over. It really was. I don't say that often in situations like that against teams like that that were allegedly as good as the Bears, even though I told you last week what frauds they were. The Jets were fraud number one. The Bears are fraud number two. But
the Bears are what we thought they were.
Yeah, they're frauds. They're frauds. This is not that good.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Any team with Jay Cutler on as a quarterback is not going anywhere, not going anywhere far. They may squeak into the playoffs, but they're not going anywhere. It's just not happening because they're not that good. And then, and you watch the Jets, and I said it last week about being psychological. And actually, I'll say this: I thought the Jets would win a very close game. I thought they would come out kind of flat. But I'll tell you what: that you talk about, and I've said it for years on the radio, and you know, it's kind of somewhat haphazardly as a joke sometimes. But in this case, it's absolutely true. And I thought it last week when I talked about it. The freaking Jets! You talk about psychologically damaged. That team is, and I just said it to John Rook before in the crossover. I don't believe the Jets are going to win another game the rest of the year. I really don't. I think they're going to have a hard time in Pittsburgh this week. I think they're going to get smoked. I think they're going to have problems in Chicago against the Bears. And I think they're going to have problems against Buffalo, which they may very well need to somehow win that game this week into the playoffs, depending on what happens now with Indianapolis and San Diego and Kansas City, Jacksonville. I mean, it's going to be a dogfight here down the end. And the only person I can say this, the only team that would ever give me cause for concern, because I do think the Patriots are going to Dallas, and I thought that last week. I do think they're headed to the Super Bowl. But if I had a choice of not wanting to face one team or one person in the AFC, I think you all know who that is, and I don't give a damn how many players are hurt, and that's Peyton Manning. He's the only guy that I have respect for that's left in the AFC. That's it. Nobody else. Because they're all frauds for the most part.
What's up, baby?
How you doing?
They're okay. They're okay. They're okay to pretty good. The Jets right now are mediocre to piss poor. The San Diegos, the Kansas Cities, those are all, you know, okay teams. Nothing spectacular. Jacksonville, you know, is up and down. I mean, they're okay. Again, they're okay to pretty good. Indianapolis technically is okay to pretty good, but Peyton Manning on that team, he's the one guy that you know has had success against the Patriots pretty consistently over the last 5 years.
Cut that meat.
So, other than that, and it's going to be iffy if the Colts even make the playoffs. Although I think they will, but. Other than facing Indianapolis in the AFC Championship game, and that will be here, probably in lousy conditions, which automatically give the Patriots huge advantage, I just don't see anybody giving this team in the AFC much of a challenge. Now, I know playoffs, I mean, look, on any given Sunday, if you don't play well, as we saw against the Browns, you'll lose. I mean, the Patriots can't come out in the playoffs, obviously, and have a game like they did in Cleveland, but does anybody really think that that's going to happen? The scary part to me with this team is, you want to talk about they haven't peaked yet or they peaked too early? I'm not sure they have peaked yet. I'm not sure. The scary part is, guys and girls, is they might be able to play even better than this. You know, if there's one little nitpicky thing, I know John does it, I didn't hear on a show, but I mean, you could certainly have some fault with the kickoff coverage. What we saw on Sunday. I mean, again, you're talking about the best in the league, maybe one of the best of all time in Hester. And, no, the conditions have to play a part in it as well. And also the kicker. I mean, it's not Gostkowski. It's Shane Graham. He's doing a pretty good job so far overall. But that's really about it. That's really about it. And I'm going to throw out praises before I forget. And there's so much I want to get to today. And I want to read so many of your emails. And by the way, you can get to me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. I'm going to have Bill Hubert from Packer Report. He's going to join me at, 4:45 around there. And we'll talk about the Packers. I want to get his take, not only on the Packers. We'll hopefully maybe get an update on Aaron Rodgers. I just don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to play. I just don't think he's going to play because, again, according to NFL rules regarding head injuries as well, you have to be Rodgers has to be symptom-free and cleared by a team doctor and independent neurological consultant before he can play again. So the Matt Flynn and the Green Bay Packers coming in here, they're going to get smoked. I mean, they're going to get smoked. Sorry. If Rodgers was back at quarterback, I think it would be probably a competitive game for a little while. But, I mean, don't forget, this Green Bay team, and again, early on in the season. So, I mean, I can't be a hypocrite and say what happened in Week 2 to the Patriots and the Jets is going to be the same now, because I think the Packers are a much better team than they were in that game in Week 2. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But Packers in Week 2 against the Bears committed 18 penalties and scored 17 points. They had more penalties than points in that awful loss. So, and again, they could not beat the Lions on Sunday. I know Rodgers was out, but, I mean, man, you can't put up 3. You can't put up 10 against the Lions. Let's put it this way. You go back to Week 4, they barely beat the Lions 28-26. They really should have lost that game, and that was at Lambeau. In fact, and then they ended up losing. They should have lost that. The Packers could have lost 4 in a row here. They lost to the Bears in Week 3, 20-17, that horrible game they played. They barely beat the Lions 28-26 at Lambeau on October 3rd. Then they lose to the Redskins 16-13, which is a horrible loss. And the Miami game, remember, too, it's a game they should have won. I mean, they could have easily won all four of those games, but they could have lost all four. They lost three of those four. And then had to scrap and scrape to beat the Vikings after that. So, you know, then they played, I thought the defensively against the Jets, they played well. But now, you know, we find out, you know, how good on offense really are the Jets. I mean, they're just not that good. I mean, they crushed Dallas, Green Bay did. Remember, that was when Dallas was really in turmoil. And they crushed the Vikings 31-3 when the Vikings are in, you know, turmoil. Then they go to Atlanta and saw that game a couple weeks ago. And, they should have won that game. They should have. But, I mean, you want to be considered the elite of the best or up there at the top, man. You got to go. You got to win games like that on the road. You have to. And they didn't. Falcons beat them 20-17. Then they beat San Francisco, another fraud. I mean, I don't know what they are. It's kind of scary that they could still be in the playoffs. And they lose to the Lions 7-3. So, I mean, I'm just not that impressed. You know, I know statistically, I mean, they're okay. Again, net yardage numbers overall, all that stuff on defense. But it means look at the schedule. Look at some of the teams. Look at some of the offenses they faced. You know, where are these great offenses they faced? Buffalo, Chicago, Detroit, Washington, Miami, the Jets, Dallas when they were discombobulated. All right, the Falcons, pretty good. They held the Falcons to 20, but they lost. So, you know, the Patriots have beaten the Patriots are the best team, and they've beaten the second-best teams, all of them. A couple of them on the road. So I'm just not overly impressed with anybody, in the NFC. I'm probably more impressed now with Atlanta than anybody. I still think if Rodgers is healthy, that the Packers, you know, might be the best team in the NFC overall when it's all said and done. That's not ruling out, you know, Philadelphia, not ruling out the Saints, certainly. And not ruling out Atlanta. So it's going to be interesting. There's no reason to fear the Green Bay Packers. The Patriots have won, what, 26 or 27 straight at home? Some ridiculous number. They are so in sync right now, it is scary. It is scary. And it is different from 2007. But a lot of articles written the last couple of days, locally and nationally. Yeah, of course. I mean, every team is its own entity. It's different every year. That's why people try to compare all the time. This is not 2007. I mean, they're only averaging about 5 points less a game than 2007. This is doing it in different ways. But there's some guys, I mean, a couple guys I want to talk. There's one guy I want to point out that I think deserves a hell of a lot of praise. And no one really talks about it because a lot of guys in his situation would be bitching and moaning and complaining and kvetching. And that's Sammy Morris. That guy deserves some kind of a gold
star. Yeah, man!
He deserves some kind of a gold star or something because here's a guy who basically, you know, Taylor was hurt. He was basically second on the depth chart. And it's been, you know, you can't – Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is the law firm and has done terrific and deserves to be the starting running back. Seems to be getting better every week. And all Sammy does is go about doing his job. He made a couple of great blocks early in that game on Sunday that I don't think anybody was really talking about. He comes in, he got that short yardage situation. He got the first down. You know, little thing. He does a lot of little things out there that nobody really talks about. I'm watching the game again this morning going by, and it was like six or seven times he was in the game that I saw that he just does all the little things, the blocking and getting the extra yards, all that stuff. And I think there'd be a lot of guys in his situation that would have, you know, thrown their hands up and said, oh, you know, I don't feel like I'm part of the team anymore. You know, now that, you know, they got Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and they signed Woodhead, and he's ahead of me on the depth chart now, which he is, technically. But Sammy Morris still has a place on this team. He does a good job. He's still on special teams as well, does a very good job. I just think it's things like little things like that that a lot of people don't talk about. That's what makes this team so great. You know, we know about the great players. I mean, Brady's spectacular. I mean, is there any question that he's not the MVP and he should be leading the Pro Bowl balloting? But most people in the country are stupid, so they want, you know, Michael Vick to be the, you know, to get the most votes. It's just crazy. It's just anti-Patriot hatred, which is fine. You know, no problem with that. But. And people say, and the other thing that people say about Brady is, well, this is the best he's ever played. I disagree. I've seen it. I've seen it in 03, 04, 07, And now, I mean, other years too. How about no six, for God's sakes? Rashay Caldwell. And like I said, they're one dumb Eric Alexander pass defense play away, because he couldn't defend Dallas Clark, from going to the Super Bowl. And they would have killed the Bears. And if that team would have annihilated the Bears. Remember how crappy Indianapolis played in the rain in Miami against Chicago, that Super Bowl? Patriots would have demolished the Bears in that game. So, I mean, Brady played great that year. And no one ever talks about that. But Rashay Caldwell is the number one receiver. And then we have the Jets. I mean, we have so much to talk about with the Patriots, and I'm going to get to all the emails too. And the computer just went down again, as usual. But let's just quickly touch on the fraud Jets and their coaching staff, and Sal Alossi. Then I got to get into Brett Favre as well too, and this national what I heard last night. I mean, it was just sickening. But let me get to this right now about the Jets, because new information coming up from Pro Football Talk. And we all know, if you don't know by now, what happened. The Sal Alossi trips Nolan Carroll of the Miami Dolphins, stuck his knee out. Jets forming the Great Wall of China on the sideline to stop the Gunners from going out of bounds, coming back in. But how about the tears, Sal Alossi? How about the tears? The tears. Yes? Oh, we have Sal? Let's hear it. Now, get your Kleenex ready, folks. Get your Kleenex ready, because I tell you what, this is like love. This is like a love story moment. Okay, this is like Ryan O'Neal and what's her name? Kelly McGraw. What's her name? Kathy McGraw. At the end, this is going to get you. I mean, you might want to hug somebody after you hear this. I know I do.
Whatever those disciplinary actions are, I'm willing to accept them, and move forward from there.
Are you concerned about your job security here?
I'll take whatever disciplinary actions the league or the team comes out to. It's on me.
Have you spoken to Rex Hill?
I've spoken to Rex. I spoke to Mr. Johnson last night. I spoke to Mike Tannenbaum. I spoke to, Coach Ryan. I called Coach Barano, and I spoke to Nolan All last night and expressed my, my apologies to them.
Starts to tear up a little bit too. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. What the hell are you thinking? Now, I don't want to go overboard the other way either. Do I think the guy should be, stoned, banned, taken away and put in jail for sick? No. I think the punishment fits the crime right now. But I will tell you this, and I don't care what anybody says, if that was ever like Dante Scarnecchia, who did that. If that was ever Ivan Fears, who did that. If that was ever Pepper Johnson, who did that. If that was ever Billy O'Brien, who did that. Josh Boyd, any of the coaches. I'm telling you, there would be such an outcry. It would be far worse than this, believe me. So, whatever. Sal Alossi, you're a bubblehead, dumbass. You got what you deserved. And now we're getting the news story apart. I'll just read the highlighted stuff here from Pro Football Talk. On Monday, Jets coach Rex Ryan denied that he instructed Sal Alossi or the phalanx of the other five Jets employees who were standing on the edge of the sideline as Dolphins gunner Nolan Carroll tried to cover a punt. Perhaps special teams coordinator Mike Westhoff also shed some light on, quote, number one, I did not instruct anyone, Westhoff said in a statement issued by the team. Number two, I was not aware. With all the people on the sidelines, it would be inconsequential and I would not be involved in any way, shape, or form. All right, believe that if you will. Meanwhile, the league is buzzing with rumors and speculation whether the Jets routinely crowd the sideline during punts. One source with the knowledge of Westhoff's practices has insisted that Westhoff did not coach that tactic during his 14 years in Miami and would not have coached that tactic in New York. Another source with knowledge of the Jets' tactics generally insists that the Jets are instructing those in street clothes to build a wall on the sideline without specifically pointing the finger at Westhoff. Yet another source tells us that multiple teams now believe, based on review of the film, that the Jets have done this in the past. We're still trying to sift through the chatter and get to the truth. The video of the incident suggests coordination in the placement of the men, which gave Elosi the opportunity to make a very bad decision at the worst possible time. The league has told us it's not investigating whether the Jets coached the maneuver. Instead, the league is focused on ensuring that the sideline area is clear in those situations. Then if you really want to get a laugh, go to ESPN.com and check out what Steve Tasker had to say, the great special teams player out of Buffalo, who is an analyst sometimes. I'm not sure if he's still doing the games or not. And not only does he say, insults integrity of the game, he brings up Spygate. Brings up Spygate.
That's being a jackass.
And he takes shots at the Patriots, if you read between the lines, there's no question. And I just read that about a half hour before I got on. I mean, just an unbelievable, you know. But that's okay. Now, should the guy be banned forever from the NFL? No. He should be punished. I think the punishment right now fits the crime. Fine $25,000, no pay the rest of the year. Sorry, no Christmas presents for the family. That's the way it goes. Next time, don't trip an opposing player. What are you watching, Woody Hayes film reviews, you know? If you're going to do it. At least Woody just punched the guy, you know? This guy sticks his knee out. Unbelievable. All right, here's what we're going to do. We can take a quick break. And then come back and reset and get to your emails and phone calls. Again, if you want to reach me, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. I have my Facebook page open as well. So just post something to my wall. Please don't send private messages. Lots to recap here with the Patriots and Bears looking ahead to the Packers. Bill Hubert from the Packer Report will join me. I have my Brett Favre rant again I'm going to go into and and this is so much and so little time to do it in. Pete Shepard Show till 6 o'clock tonight right here on Patriots.com. Right back after this.
Pete Shepard. The Pete Shepard Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Tommy Tutone, huh? Jenny, 867-5309. That's not the number to call to reach me, by the way. 508-543-7482. But I'm sure Jenny would be much more exciting to talk to, wherever she may be. 508-543-7482. Quick email. Do you know there's still an unbeliever out there? Pete Prisco is a fraud. How can he not have the Patriots in the number one spot? I guess on CBS Sportsline, Pete Prisco, who is a fraud, by the way. I've heard it many times. And he's right up there. He's right up there with the worst frauds of all time. Love your show, Pete. I was disgusted when they took you off WEI. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Bob, from Westport. I appreciate it. Well, they're doing so well since I left. Anyway, I'm sorry. Oh, that's wrong. It's the holidays. Anyway, I did promise you on Facebook, those who saw my post, that I would have a little special something for you. And this is, I have my own Christmas version montage. This is for all of you out there. And, you hear certain songs, Christmas songs. We all know, we all have our favorites. And maybe this is sacrilegious. I am not a big Bing Crosby, White Christmas guy. I am a big Bing Crosby, Do You Hear What I Hear kind of guy. White Christmas is not one of my favorite songs. And I know that movie.
How do you feel about Twisted Sister doing a Twisted Christmas?
No, I don't like that either. I don't like that either.
I like it when the cheerleaders
dance like
to
that.
It.
I don't like that either. I like Josh Groban doing Oh Holy Night, which is probably my favorite. And, you know, I like the Charlie Brown Christmas thing and all that stuff. I like a lot of, you know, it's basically you hear the same seven or eight songs all day. I must tell you, I haven't heard Feliz Navidad a lot this year. Maybe it's because I haven't had the radio on, although 90% of the stations are playing Christmas music at this time. But here is one of my favorites. Andy Williams, and this is for you guys, and also in part of what the Patriots did on Sunday. So this is my holiday song for all of you.
Third and goal to go, Patriots at the Chicago 7-yard line. Direct snap to Brady. Stands in the pocket, fires it, touchdown! Rob Gronkowski, 7-yard touchdown pass for Tom Brady. His 28th touchdown pass of the season. First and goal to go, Patriots, Chicago 4-yard line. Brady's got a slot to the near side left, direct snap to Brady, handoff to Woodhead, to the right side, fighting for yardage, and he is into the end zone! Touchdown for Danny Woodhead of Shadron State. Cutler, back to pass on play action, steps up, fires to the left, it is caught by Johnny Knox. For no gain, ball on the ground, picked up by Guyton, down the right side, at the 15, at the 10, at the 5, touchdown, Gary Guyton. Play action fake, Cutler back to throw, being chased out of the pocket, going to be hit, going to be sacked.
Fumble.
Back at the 10, ball on the ground, and let's see, the Patriots recover inside the Chicago 10-yard line.
Oh, baby.
Gerard Mayo recovers the fumble for the Patriots inside the Chicago 10 off the sack of Jay Cutler. Brady will take one more snap with 5 seconds left. He's back to throw. Looks, fires down the left sideline. Deion Branch has it. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Wow.
Deion Branch from Tom Brady. The final play of the first half. My goodness. Cutler drops back to throw. Gets rid of the football. It's intercepted. Intercepted by the Patriots. Gary Guyton on the left sideline and knocked out of bounds on the near side. Back to throw is Cutler. Trying to avoid the rush. Rolls out to his left. Got a mile of room in front of him. Now he's going to be hit as he gets rid of the football. And it is intercepted in the end zone by Brandon Merriweather. Boyer takes the knee. And that is all she wrote. And the Patriots come into Chicago and lay a haymaker on the NFC North Division leading Chicago Bears. Patriots rolling 36-7.
Nice. Keep the music going. We're almost at the end. You got to love Andy Williams right here. You got to love it. I mean, this, every time you think the Patriots, think of this song. Every time you think of hear this song, think of the Patriots. Ready, everybody? It's the most wonderful time. Everybody.
Of the year.
Nice going, Jets. Nice going, Cubs, a.k.a. the Bears. The Bears. Oh, it's beautiful. Love that song. Good job. Good job.
Known as the Bears.
The Bears. I'm going to check in with Billy Huber in a little while for the Packer Report. And just let me, before that, let me do one more email. Not one more. We have a lot of them, but let me, Pete, I looked at the NFL rankings. This is from Christopher. That yes mean absolutely nothing, but I always want to know what the so-called experts say. Jason LaConfora is the only one that doesn't have the Pats on top. They have the Saints first, Pats second. What? Jason and Michael Irvin might want to start doing the shame report with Dave Damechek. They analyze the game as well as Brody Coyle ran the Kansas City offense. They are inept. What are your thoughts of these two jokers? Well, you just summed it up, Chris. They are. Well, they are the jokers. They're haters. They can't. They cannot come to grips with the Patriots are the best team again. And they also can't come to grips with this defense is a lot better than they. Well, what I've been telling a lot of people for the last 5 or 6 weeks, a lot better than people think. You know, these people cannot admit they're wrong. They just can't. And in fact that it's the Patriots, and you can scream at me or all you want. I'm telling you, I know some of these people, and I know how they think. They are absolutely biased against the Patriots. They don't like Belichick because he doesn't give them the sexy
such an
answers.
Idiot.
And they will continue to hate on this team until hell freezes over because that's all they know how to do. It's just eating more crow after crow after crow after crow. And I keep saying it. All these times, you open your mouth against this team, you don't usually lose. You get humiliated. You get humiliated. If you're playing the Patriots, the first piece of coaching I would give anybody is shut up during practice week. Don't give the Patriots any billboard material. They use it all. They use it all. Believe me, they do. It works for them. Now, speaking of national nitwits, last night, to watch ESPN, especially at the end of the what ended up being a very good Houston, Baltimore game, to watch Matt Millen and others have this Brett Favre kiss-ass suckfest right in front of us, and it was just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, puke-inducing worse, about Brett Favre, and the whole, I mean, everybody in ESPN, I mean, people back in the studio, people on the field, I mean, Steve Young, everybody, Matt Millen going on and on and on and on and on. What is the matter with you people? This guy, basically, for the 100,000th time, is the most overrated superstar, quote-unquote superstar quarterback in the history of the NFL. And if you look at the numbers after his last Super Bowl against the Broncos, which they lost, the numbers are pathetic except for 1 year for the most part. And he still lost an NFC title game and threw picks when it counted. It is unbelievable. The retirement, the lack of retirement, and I still think he staged, I mean, I saw his hand, it looked pretty banged up. But my God, it was unbelievable to watch those guys last night on Monday Night Football after the game, during the game, Brett Favre this, Brett Favre that. How wonderful is Brett Favre at 292 consecutive starts? And, you know, what a relief. Now Brett Favre is a victim. Now I've got to sit there and listen to how Brett Favre is a victim in all of this. He's got a heart and how tough he is. Yeah. And how many games did he cost him? Because his ego was writing checks his body couldn't cash. How many games did he cost him? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, join me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. You can reach me, email webradio at patriots.com. And my Facebook page is open. Please just post something to the wall. Do not do private messages. I'm not going to respond to private messages. I'm going to X them out. So just post something to the wall. And joining me right now on the Ace Ticket Hotline from the Packer Report is Bill Huber. Hey, Bill. Welcome to the Pete Shepherd Show. Thanks for taking a few minutes today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. What's the how's the weather where you are?
It's beautiful today, thankfully. I'm sick of snow, so I've had enough. It's only December.
I know. It's way too early for this. It's way too early. But that was really something what happened. Before we get to the Patriots Packers, I mean you're sort of close to Minnesota. That was really an unbelievable. And thank goodness nobody was in there. Can you imagine if the Giants were playing that game in that building, and you know, they say it was third quarter or something, and that had happened. And thank God a big tragedy, I think, was avoided. But let's get to the Patriots and the Packers. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. I'm sure you've covered Brett Favre over the years, and what was your whole take on what happened with his situation in the last couple of days?
You know, I guess it was big of him to step aside. I mean, you figured he could have faked it. I mean, who's going to overrule Brett if he said that? You know what? I'm good to play. So I guess you got to give him some credit for admitting that. You know, he wasn't going to help the team out there. So I guess I have to give him that.
All right, I just think he probably should have done it about maybe 25 times before that. You know, maybe.
Yeah, you know, the Vikings would have been so much better off if Brett would have said, or you know, if Childress would have just, you know, used his willpower. I mean, he was the coach after all. I mean, yeah. Put your foot down.
Well, I probably won't know any kind of update about Aaron Rodgers until tomorrow, but I got to believe it's going to be an interesting scenario. And any word out of Green Bay as to if he might be able to play? I know under NFL rules and everything, he has to get you know, a team doctor, an independent neurological consultant to okay him before he can play again. But even if he is okay to play again, Bill, what do you think that Coach McCarthy will do?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, this is the best. This is such a good idea by the NFL to have this independent neurologist to make the decision. It takes it, you know. Your quarterback doesn't have to be a tough guy anymore. The coach just doesn't have to, you know, worry about the team anymore. It's just, you know, it's so cut and dry, and that's a big thing. As for the game, you know, on Sunday, McCarthy said that by the end of the game, that Rodgers just had a headache. So I think that bodes well for Sunday. And goodness knows they need him, because losing to the Lions really put him behind the eight ball. I mean, they weren't in the playoffs to begin with entering the game, and now they're just really up a creek on tiebreakers in that loss. So obviously they need him, and they could if he's a quick healer, that would be big.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, again, if they don't, I mean, if he can't go, I mean, Matt Flynn, you know, had a tough situation for him to come into that game pretty early on Sunday, but you know, he looked okay in a couple passes, but he just, I mean, he's not going to come. He's not coming in to lead the Packers over the Patriots the way they're playing here right now. It changes the whole dynamic of the game if Matt Flynn is the quarterback. And my other thing is, who's his backup?
Well, last week was Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, wide receiver, right? Yeah.
But Graham Harrell, the former Texas Tech star, he's been on the practice squad all year. So, you know, last time Rodgers had the concussion after the Washington game, and by Thursday they hadn't promoted Harrell yet. Mm-hmm. So, and that was kind of the signal that, okay, if they're not going to promote Harrell, then Rodgers must be good to go. So I think that's the thing you look for. If they don't promote Harrell by Wednesday or Thursday, then I think that Rodgers is on course to play. But, you know, you're right. I mean, it's going to be tough enough to beat the Patriots with Rodgers. You know, Flynn's not going to do it. Graham Harrell's certainly not going to do it. So, I mean, gosh, Graham Harrell couldn't throw the ball through a window.
No, I know.
He's not very good.
Well, you know, the Packers to me this year have been an interesting team, and every time I'm ready to jump on them saying they're the best team in the NFC, they kind of let me down a little bit. I mean, and I try not to. I tell people around here all the time that you don't know a lot about any team in the NFL basically until after Thanksgiving, around week, you know, 9, 10, 11, around there. We certainly know what we have in the New England Patriots now. And mm-hmm. The game that I was really disappointed in, and I know the Packers have been in some games, they could have lost 5 in a row here very easily, but they didn't. I mean, but the game that I thought they really should have won was the Atlanta game. I was very disappointed. And I know Matt Ryan had the big home winning streak, all that stuff. But that was a game, to me, that, you know, they let that one slip away. And if you're going to be a championship contending team, you got to win a game like that. I was kind of disappointed. I know Atlanta's a very good team, especially at home. But the Packers are a good team, too. They should have won that game. That to me, told me a lot.
You know, It's typical NFC. I mean, you can just throw all the teams into a hat. I mean, you can go, you know, you can include the Packers, the Buccaneers. You know, it's, you just throw them into a hat, and whoever's playing whoever that week, you know, you have no idea. I mean, I agree with you on that Falcons game, but at the same time, you know, they had the goal line fumble. You know, obviously you can say could have, should have, would have, yep, all you want, but they had a goal line fumble.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They had a couple things. You know,
they had it won.
I think it boded well that they could stand toe-to-toe. I mean, Atlanta's clearly the best team, because they're going to win home field advantage easily. So I think that you stood toe-to-toe, I thought it was a good sign. I figured, you know, football is such a game of breaks, and if you get one, you know, you can win that game. But, you know, that Detroit now they're just up a creek now.
I don't know how losing is a good sign.
No, I don't think it's – I think it's – well, you're right. I mean, there's no moral victories, but – that you can go toe-to-toe with a team that hasn't lost a home game in forever, I think,
yeah,
you know, you figure you got a puncher's chance. How's that sound?
Well, that's good. That's a game. I thought they really, I mean, really, they should have won by double digits, to be honest with you.
You can say that with all their losses, though. I mean,
They're ahead of the line. I think the first Lions game, that was nip and tuck, I think, the whole way, right? They squeaked that one out. Then, I mean, losing to the Redskins in Miami back to back, you know, that's, it's kind of, you know, then they squeak out a win against Minnesota. They beat the Jets. They can't score against anybody. We find out now. I remember watching that game, and I thought the Packers, that was a solid win. I mean, that was a good win on the road against a pretty good defensive team. Offensively, we now know the Jets suck and can't do anything. Certainly caught Dallas at the right time, whipping them 45-7. They whipped Minnesota at the right time, too, when the Childress and all that garbage was going down. But I keep wanting to say they're the best team in the NFC, but I can't bring myself to do it. But like you said, it's going to be clubby. New Orleans, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Green Bay. It is going to be. And you can't. You know what? And the one team, as I've learned in 2007, I'm not going to discount either, is the Giants. They're playing pretty well right now too. And I mean, you just never know. Because I've seen the Giants go on a run before. That playoff game in 07, they looked horrible in the first half against Tampa Bay. And whatever Coughlin said to them after that, they steamrolled the rest of the way. So, I mean, you just never know in the playoffs.
It just shows the margin for error is so little. And I don't think it's true in the AFC because, obviously, you know, you guys have clearly separated yourselves. And overwhelming favorites, it would not be an overstatement. And the NFC, I mean, it's just the way it's been for a few years, you know. Throw them all in the hat and figure out what you got. You know, geez, the Packers could, you know, if the Packers could win a close game, They'd be the world's greatest team, but they've lost four games by 3 points, and they're all overtime field goals or second to last play field goals. And then this game was a 4-point game, and I can't put a finger on it. I mean, why are they consistently bad in close games? It's mystifying. You know, they got the quarterback, their defense is good. They just do not make plays in the clutch. I don't know where you put it on. If I had the answers, I would be the coach, I guess.
Well, that being said, this still is a very, very talented team and pretty well coached, I think, too, for the most part. And if Rodgers is capable of playing, I think this is going to be a very, very interesting game. I don't think the Patriots win this game 45-3. If Rodgers is healthy, if Rodgers isn't healthy, I think they're going to get smoked. But if Rodgers is playing. I think, you know, certainly Donald Driver and Jennings is playing out of his mind. And what's interesting about Jennings is I looked up a stat today, and his touchdown catches average about, I think, 32.2 yards. That is unbelievable.
He's got more 40-yard catches over the last 3 years than anybody in the NFL, more than Moss, more than Owens.
Who's Moss?
Andre Johnson, more than anybody.
Who's Moss? Is that Randy Moss? I'm not sure he's still playing in the league. I haven't heard his name much lately. I'm not sure what he's up to.
Yeah, that's good.
But,
boy, I mean, what a joker that guy is.
Oh, please.
That's a whole other subject.
Well,
I'm sure you've
we've covered that.
That one.
Exactly. But you certainly have, you know, we talked about the skill players, you know, the Driver and Jennings and, you know, Brandon Jackson, I know, had a you know, he's had a lot of weight put on his shoulders very quickly because of, you know, the injury that you guys had to
Ryan Grant.
Ryan Grant. I mean, that was devastating. So this guy was, like, expected to be just a third down back, kind of like a Kevin Faulk type. Was here much what Danny Woodhead is now, and he's developed into. But he's been thrust into the lead role there at running back, and it's been okay for you guys.
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, that's all. He's okay. You know, they can't run the ball, and whether it's the running backs or if it's the offensive line, I mean, geez, those guys, the offensive line got smoked against the Lions. So I mean, they're gonna, you know, regardless of who's at quarterback, they're gonna come out throwing it. I mean, you know, what I want to know from you while I got you on the phone is, what's up with the Patriots pass defense? Statistically, they're pretty rotten coming into last week.
Here's a problem, and this is something I've been saying all along. If you look inside the numbers, you will find out that it's much better than you think it is. They have been ahead, and now they've won. They're 11-2, and now 9 of their 11 wins, they have been ahead by double digits to 5 touchdowns. I can't tell you how much of the game. And so, and that's including the second half. They have, if you look at the game, if you look at their defensive numbers when the games are tied or they're behind, with the exception of the Cleveland game where they just played like crap, okay. But you take that game out, which I know you can't do. But even parts of that game, it really wasn't as horrible as you think. They just made a lot of stupid. They fumbled a kickoff. They did stupid things that they just haven't done since then. But if you look at games when they're tied or behind, like the Baltimore game in the second half, and other games you'll find that the defense actually played pretty well. When you go into Pittsburgh, you're up by three touchdowns. You're up by three touchdowns against San Diego. You're up by, you know, a gazillion points against a lot of these teams. Net yards play that comes into play. Now, I know some of those games in the end, and they're up by 18 against or 17 against Indianapolis. I know a couple of those games ended up being only three-point games, but those games were never in doubt. They played zone a lot of that time for the second half. And I kept telling people, but the defense has made plays all year, interceptions all year. They made McCourty, this kid out of Rutgers.
Oh, I love him.
Has been fantastic. I know Spike's just got in trouble, obviously, with his little ADD, HD, whatever he took and with that. And it's too bad. But guys like Gerard Mayo's having an all-pro year. I think the safeties, you know, Chung and Merriweather. Merriweather's really come along since he was struggling the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. He's come on. Chung has played very well. You cannot say enough about Vince Wilfork, and Gerard Warren has played great. Mike Wright's been a little bit banged up. But even guys like Kyle Arrington and Darius Butler on the other corners have been playing. All of a sudden, you know, they're coming into their own. Things are gelling. But I'm just telling you, this defense was never as bad as number 31 ranked. Net yards to me means nothing. All I care about is red zone offense, red zone defense, and points allowed. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned McCourty. I did a whole bunch of pre-draft stuff. Is that, I mean, you? Not that you don't know this, but he is the smartest, nicest guy you'll ever meet. I mean, what a first-class guy. And he's a guy who didn't pick off any passes at Rutgers at all. I think he had like two.
Yeah.
And what, has he got like five or six for you guys? I mean, boy, that's good coaching.
Well, he was certainly. You know, people were questioning him around here. And I didn't know enough about it. I saw Rutgers play maybe two or three times, and certainly not focusing on a cornerback, you know, back when you watch it on ESPN sometimes. So I didn't know much about him. But people around here, a lot of people somewhat were, even after all this time, ripping Belichick for the pick and this, that, and the other thing. The guys could very well be the defensive rookie of the year. But I want to talk about a couple guys on your team that are very impressive, too, on defense. And that's, you know, Woodson and Clay Matthews Jr. especially, who's just a beast. And a lot of people around here are upset that the Patriots never took him in the draft, and they thought he'd fill in well here, but you know, Bill didn't. The way the Patriots played the 3-4.
You know, Matthews. I mean, what I like about Matthews, I mean, obviously he's talented and he's athletic and all that. The guy just does not quit. I mean, there is not a play that he never takes off plays. You know, our outside linebackers coach here is Kevin Green, who you know knows a little something about the position, and he says that Matthews is potentially the best linebacker, best 3-4 linebacker to ever play the game. He says he's got that much potential, that much drive, that much intelligence. And if Kevin Green has 160 sacks, say that, I guess that tells me all I need to know.
Well, he's certainly talented. He flies all over the field, and I like AJ Hawk. I mean, I like Hawk a lot. I liked him in college, and you know, he's another one. Those two fly all over the place.
You know, you mentioned Woodson. Actually, you know, the best corner this year is Tremont Williams. He's had a Pro Bowl caliber season. Last week, Calvin Johnson had nothing against him. The one catch he had was against Woodson.
Yep.
And he's basically been doing that all year long. He's big time. He's a guy kind of hangs around Woodson. He's kind of got that film study down, the guesswork down. And, you know, he's the kind of guy you got to look out for.
Well, after this game, the Packers have, you have the Giants and the Bears. I'm just wondering, even if Rodgers is cleared, I mean, do you think there's any way that Coach McCarthy would sit him down just to, as a preventive, you know, just say, no, well, let's just take another week. Can they afford to sit him for this game and then come back and play probably much more important games against two NFC opponents and the Giants and the Bears? You think he'd ever consider that?
If they had won last week, sure. But, I mean, they've left themselves zero margin for error with the five losses, four are in division play, or four in conference play. They got a couple in the division now. I don't think they can. I mean, you lose 4 3-point games and a 4-point game. You know, you've blown it. Now you got to win. And winning up there is going to be, you know, really difficult as it is. But I think they've got to go all in to get in the playoffs at this point. And it's their own fault.
All right, Bill, thanks a lot. And I don't know if you're coming up for the game on Sunday night. I'm not sure if you are or not. But if you are, enjoy the game. And you get some nice clam chowder anyway. I don't think it's going to snow. I don't think it's going to snow here. So, but you know, Packers are used to that too. I find it funny when teams talk about, you know, teams like the Patriots and the Packers about playing in the snow. It cracks me up about how the elements are going to affect them. Most times it doesn't.
No, it's the offense's best friend, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. All right, Bill, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And enjoy the game Sunday night.
You too. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. That's Billy Hubert from the Pack Report joining me here on the Pete Shepherd Show. We're here until 6 o'clock. Quick break. Phone number, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482, and join me, also email me, webradio at patriots.com, and you can also Facebook me as well. Post something to my wall. Do not send me any private messages. I'm back to more of your emails and more phone calls and more ranting and more raving and more moaning and bitching and kvetching. And I'll tell you my horrible mall story from the Burlington Mall today. Nothing to do with the Burlington Mall. People is great and all that stuff. It's just the whole process of Christmas shopping. I'm going to get into that as well. Anyway, back with more right after this.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Now back here on the Pete Shepherd Show, Patriot.com. Hey, it's me, Pete Shepherd. Oh, what a day I had. I tell you, I needed an Alka-Seltzer, Brioski, something. Came out of the Burlington Mall today, did all my Christmas shopping, and it was, you know, the most offensive thing is that people, I said it to John Rook earlier today, is that I felt like a John. You know, you feel like you're being pimped. You feel like you're being chased by prostitutes. Why do these people have to chase me down the hall? Why, I mean, down the corridor, whatever.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
I mean, is that not the most offensive thing? I'm done. I had a couple things that I had to get, and thank God most of my friends and family members and all that stuff, it's much easier to shop for them now. They all want gift certificates, which is fine, because I don't like picking out crap anyway. It sucks. But like I said, I was telling you, I know, you go in there, and men just have a different mentality than women about a lot of things. It's not always good or bad or better. It's not, one's not better and one's worse. But there is one thing that we all, the male species, has in common. When you walk into a mall during holiday time, we all have that look. Like, you're in the Twilight Zone. Like
deer in the headlights.
Total deer in the headlights. You don't know where. It's overwhelming for us. And I know a lot of women out there don't like to shop either. I'm kind of stereotyping a little bit. But there's a lot more women like to go shopping, and they like to browse, and they like to window shop, and they like to have a little lunch and make a day out of it. I don't. I like to make it a minute. I hate the malls. I hate malls, period. Christmas or no Christmas or holiday season, whatever. But the worst thing is when you go and buy, and it's just so offensive to me that, I mean, I'm one of those when I'm in the mall, I know what I got to do. I know the stores I got to go to, and then I'm in and out. But sometimes the stores are spread out. The Burlington Mall is huge. It's where they filmed the Paul Blart movie, a lot of it. So those of you who have been there in Burlington, Mass, know. And it's a beautiful mall. I mean, it's got everything. I mean, no question. It's only now like 20 minutes from where I live, so I like it even better. So it's like, but you go in, and it starts right away. With, you know, this, and it's always, you know, some beautiful young girl. But now is not the time. I don't want to know about your soaps. And I know what they're selling. I get it. They're all wonderful products. It's not about the product. It's about the invasion of my space, about my privacy. Get away from me. It is unbelievable. This girl literally chased me. I mean, I started to like jog a little bit, you know? Which is not a good thing to see. But she's changed. Sir, just let me ask you a quick question. I turn around. I'm like, what? You're selling soap for $500. I get it. I don't want it. I don't want it. If I wanted it, I would come over and buy it. But I don't want the soap. And then you go down. And then I got and there's a lot of people there for a lot of great causes, and I understand that. There's someone there for, you know, bone marrow research, and someone's there for diabetes, and someone's there for cancer. All wonderful causes, and I get it. That's the only way you get, you know, and that's fine. And I've donated to many of those charities before. But, man, when I'm Christmas shopping, I don't want to hear it from anybody about anything. If I want to do something, I will come over. I see the signs. I see the people. Very nice people standing there. I know they're trying to do their jobs. But the people selling the products, I mean, there's got to be a law. There should be some kind of a law. I mean, everything. It's like, sir, here's a toe picker for your sock lint. Will you want that? No, I don't want it. If I wanted a toe picker for my sock stuff, I'd come over and buy it. I don't want that. And it goes on and on. And all my stores, you know, I had to go to GameStop and get my nephew's thing. And unfortunately, everything is all spread out. So I had to walk across. I had to go through the whole mall, you know, from one side to the other, up, down, up, down, up, down. It's not the crowd so much. I can handle that. The parking lot's a different story. We all know that. It's just hell. And women can't drive in the parking lot. It's just brutal. It's absolutely brutal. Women in cars driving in the mall parking lot. I mean, I just get out of the way. I just pray. I don't care what the, I go so far away. I go park like a mile away from the store, and that's fine with me because I don't want to deal with it. I can't deal with it. You know, it's brutal. So that's a chore in itself, just to park in the mall without getting run over. And women are crazy in the mall. And if they have kids, I don't know how you do it. Some of them, first of all, I wonder, I see like a lot of like 8, 9, a lot of kids out of school already. I don't think so. But I saw a bunch of kids in the school, in the mall today. And I'm like, why the hell aren't you people in school? But then you got, you know, then you got the moms who let their little Joey, who's a little angel, according to them, and run all over the mall. They're running all over the place. They're running into you, and, you know, they're hitting you in, you know, places that hurt your knees and above, if you know what I'm saying, because they're not watching where they're going. They're smashing into you. And, you know, you want to kick them, but you can't. And so, and the mom looks at you like you're an idiot. I'm the idiot. Your child ran into my nuts, okay? And then, kicked me in the knee by accident, but it's my fault. And I guess it is because I wasn't looking. While that's going on, I got to deal with, 17, 18-year-old Sally chasing me. She wants to sell me, you know, belly button lint remover or something.
Yeah, man!
So while I'm fending them off with my left hand, little Joey's coming at me, smashing into my nuts with his head and kicking me in the knee by accident with the right hand. I got to dodge and leapfrog all over these people. You know, and he looked like an idiot. So I just run. These people, I just start running. I mean, I'm afraid to go into the mall. I'm afraid to go holiday shopping, Christmas shopping. It scares the crap out of me. It leaves me mentally drained.
Horse poop.
But it is the solicitations of these people that treat you like, and if you say no, you're an ass. You know, you're an idiot. They hate you. Sorry. I don't have 20 grand to spend. And in like 15 minutes, leave me alone.
Bingo. I got bingo.
I'll tell you, it's brutal. And there's a lot of women of all ages that seem to handle it. And what they know, they're a teenager with their friend. That's fine. And then you go into a place. You go into a place like a GameStop. And I'm just buying gift certificates, you know, and thank God I got to the line first. But I'm listening to the conversations, and some of you get the grandmas, some of the grandmas and some of the older moms in there who just don't have a clue about anything that has to do with Xbox or PlayStation or any of the gadget stuff that all the kids have nowadays. And they don't know what they need to ask for at the front of the line. And so they have a 25-minute conversation about nothing. And we're sitting there waiting, and you just want to buy a gift certificate, but instead I have to listen to, you know, Mrs. Wilson, who can't get the right pink Xbox controller for a little Sally because she'll be upset. And she's talking about the Atari 2600, which hasn't been around in 30 years, and doesn't really know what Xbox does and the difference between PlayStation and this and that. And, you know, there's two people to handle 100 people in the store. So you have to deal with that. But like I said, the worst part is the solicitors that just chase you all over the place, one product to the next. And it makes you crazy. If you're a guy, it makes you crazy. Maybe women can handle it because they're stronger than we are mentally for the most part anyway. I can't handle it. I just want to go in and be left alone. Why can't I just be left alone? Why can't I be, George Costanza, why can't I be? I just want to live. All right, back to football stuff. I'm sorry. I just had to get that up.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
You know, it's just offensive to me. Why do they train that way to run after you and they start yelling at you like 100 feet away, sir, let me ask you a question. I swear on my grandmother's soul, I can't tell you how many times. Young girls between 18 and 30 probably said that to me today about cologne and soap and tissues and I'm losing my mind. I'm like, and they come at you, sir. They yell and you try to fake it so maybe you don't hear, but it doesn't. They just keep at you. This barrage of sirs, sir, 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 sir. Like Bill Cosby said, you know, it's like a tobacco auctioneer. Sir, 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 sir. I'm like, no, leave me alone. I'm going to get bodyguards next time I go in there. And I'm not going back. I'm done. I got it all. Somehow I survived. I got it all done. All right, now I'm definitely done. I'm sorry about my rant, but it has to be said. Nobody else talks about this stuff. And it's not always about football and the Patriots and everything. Well, it's about, you know, conveniences in life and the inconveniences. And that's part of my day. I think that's important. I share it with you. It's important that I warn the male species out there about what to expect when you go into these places. Because I got to tell you, There's only one thing to get expect. You're screwed. You don't have a chance. Say it with Pete Carroll. You know what, Pete Carroll? You don't have a chance. We have no chance. None. We are outgunned. We are outnumbered. You know? It's like Braveheart. Minus the nut job Mel Gibson leading the attack. And we don't have, we just can't. We have no chance. And women have a different way of handling it. See, a woman comes after another woman soliciting in the mall, and they like it for the most part. Some don't. I understand that. But, what is that? What do you have? Oh, really? Oh, well, you know, that's about the thousandth, you know, different type of soap I've seen today. But you know what? I'm going to get it anyway.
Oh, that kind of question pisses me off.
So they just handle it better. Women handle things with women that way a lot better. I'm just afraid. I'm just scared. I don't know what to do. I don't know what direction to go in, because if I go to my right, there's another. So I don't know. I go up the escalator. They chase me up the escalator. You go up the escalator. They greet you at the top of the escalator. I mean, I'm going out of my mind. I swear to God, this at the end of the day, and then I'll stop. I keep saying that, but this is kind of funny. I mean, I get them. This lady was, I won't say the organization she was with, but I mean, it was just nonstop. And I'm going by, I'm trying to be nice to her. I finally walk away. And, you know, she, I don't know. I didn't even say anything. I just said, no, not right now. I'm busy. But they don't want to hear that. Why can't they? If they just stopped, then there wouldn't be any necessary, you know, rude reaction from people like me. And I wasn't rude, but I saw other people that were very rude. I just threw my head. I just said no. And then sternly, I said, no, I'm sorry, miss. I can't help you right now. I'm busy. And then she flipped me the bird or did something ridiculous. But this one lady said, this one young girl said, she's like, sir, I just have to ask you a question. Now, I swear to God, I am at least 25 yards away from her little stall in the middle of the mall, right near where Santa Claus is in Burlington Mall, if you know where that is. Nice setup, by the way. And she chased me for like 25 yards. But, sir, just let me ask you a question. And I go, are you really doing this to me? You're chasing me down the mall for soap. Soap! I got enough of it. All the women in my life have enough of it, okay? I'm not buying any more soap. Especially the ones in the little stands, which are like $200, $300, you know? Maybe it's me. But I just felt that I should warn most of you out there, most of my male friends out there who dare to trek into it. There's no question. Online shopping is the way to go. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I actually had a couple hours to kill today, so I figured I'd get it all done. And I was, you know, it wasn't the crowds that did it to me. It wasn't even that bad. I mean, the mall was filled, but it wasn't like sardine-ish. It wasn't that bad as far as that goes. And this was like between 10:30 and 12:30 today. But it's unbelievable to me, the conversations and the solicitations that transpire. I just want to go like three or four stores and get the hell out. But you need bodyguards and army. You need fatigues. I need like a SWAT team to get out. And then I got lost twice, which makes it worse. That's the worst, when you don't really know them all. See, women always know them all. It doesn't matter. And they can see little signs. They see little things pointed out that we don't see. And I was like, I'm looking up like I was, like, you know, trying to find the stars and the pattern of the sky to see which way was out. But I couldn't.
We like to have fun.
It wasn't fun. I couldn't do it. So I got lost twice, which sucks. You think you're in one place and you're not. So finally, I actually had to go back up the escalator and find the Santa Claus guy again, so I knew to get out the back way of Macy's where the Cheesecake Factory was, which also had a million people in it. Anyway, enough of that. But that was my day today before I got here. My day, my 2 hours at the mall, which felt like an eternity. And I was like a rat in a maze that was trapped, like in The Shining in the bushes, you know? Jack Nicholson chasing the kid. That's what I was like. Only I was Jack Nicholson, not chasing the kid with an axe. I was just trying to get the hell out. I was just screaming for anybody to help me. Help! Let me out! Just point me. Why can't there just be a big red arrow that says out? There isn't in a mall like that of that size. So you wander around, lost. Maybe it's a metaphor. Maybe I was trying to find myself. Oh, I cracked myself up. Anyway, let me read this nice email from Gene. Gene says, hi, Pete. I had to watch the Miami versus Jets game here in Florida. I believe the Jets coach that tripped the Miami player did on his own and thought he was the cat's ass after he, you don't hear that very often, the cat's ass after he knocked the Miami guy down. He even looked at the other coaches with a smirk on his face. He certainly had a different look on his face at the podium. I don't believe Rex had anything to do with the tripping part of the incident, but I do believe that the way they lined up in a row for every Miami punt was his decision. I agree with that. I also believe the league will initiate new rules for coaching the side. Well, yes, they have. They've already sent out the memo today. So I doubt you're going to see. I doubt you're going to see any more of the Jets lining up that close to the sideline or any other team for that matter, because you know it's a copycat league. Mike on Facebook says, Patriots defense is fine. Pete changed my mind. Thanks, Mike. Mike goes on to say, if Rodgers plays, Patriots win 28-14. If he doesn't, 34-10. Okay. I think it might be a little more high scoring than 28-14, to be honest with you. I could see that game being like 42-28, something like that, or 35. I could see 35-30. I could see something like that where Green Bay scores a kind of a garbage touchdown at the end. I think it'll be a very, if Rodgers plays and he's somewhat healthy, I think that'll be a very high scoring game. He is not a quarterback, by the way, to be taken lightly with some of the weapons that he has if he is able to play. And despite some of their close losses against some bad, close losses against bad teams and close wins against some bad teams, I've seen the Packers when they are on fire this year, and they can play. I mean, they go through spurts where you can't, first of all, you can't take any team in this league for granted. I don't care who it is, not Buffalo or anybody. You can't take anybody for granted. But the way the Patriots are playing right now, mentally, I just don't think they are in that mode. No, they are just going for the jugular. They're just going to play their game. They're not going to be intimidated. They haven't lost a regular season game at home in forever. So I don't think the Packers, Rodgers or no Rodgers, are going to intimidate them by any stretch of the imagination. But they're going to have to play well. And this will be an important test, another growth, another step for this defense. There's some pretty good receivers on this team. You know, I told you, Jennings is unbelievable. Jennings is unbelievable at touchdown. When he catches touchdowns, I guarantee you they're going to be over 30 yards. That's what he does. Now, their running game stinks, and their run defense is not very good either. So the Packers have a lot of holes. The Patriots don't have many. But they still, you know, they're not perfect. They have a couple. They just can't take a team like this for granted. This is a team that if you do not play well, can beat you. You know, they can't afford to play kind of, you know, haphazardly. And again, I'm not saying they're going to. I just don't think they have that mentality now. I think they're going for it all. They realize what they have here. So, and I'll get to my picks coming up in just a little bit. But it's all going to depend on Rodgers. And I just, you know, I'm not sure he's going to be able to play. We'll know tomorrow. You know, and as far as McCourty goes, we won't know that. Ian Rappaport in the Herald said earlier today that McCourty's injury is not serious, which is a good thing, because that would concern me. I can tell you right now, I would if Rodgers played and McCourty wasn't out there, that is something that would concern me. No question about it. That's not to say the Packers would still win, but they could. I mean, they'd have a chance. But I just think the way the Patriots on offense right now, they are so in sync. And you basically, if you're the Packers, you have to score every single time down the field. That's what it's really come down to. And the Patriots took the foot off the gas pedal in the second half yesterday, on Sunday. Because they could have scored 90 in the snow if they wanted to. Obviously, they didn't. And I know the soccer mom people saw, why was Brady still in the game? Hey, you know what? It's just the way it is. And I always go back to, I mean, and Belichick will tell you the same thing. I remember a couple of years ago in 07, down in Miami, and the Patriots were up by 4 touchdowns against the Dolphins. I mean, they're kicking the crap out of them down there. And Matt Castle came in, and next thing you know, the Patriots are only up by 2 touchdowns. Out came Castle. 2 picks, a pick 6. I think Taylor got one of them, if not mistaken. And so, I mean, there are reasons why. And Bill is very... You know, he's very, first of all, he's very consistent in his thinking. Tom doesn't want to come on anyway. And by the way, Parcells did it with Bledsoe. If you remember, when Parcells was here with Drew, and when he was real good, And he was real good for a few years. Drew never came out of the game either. Very, very rarely. I mean, and the Patriots weren't in a lot of blowout situations like this, but very rarely did they come out. In games like that. All right, the ASIC and hotline is 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio at patriots.com, and let's go to the ACE ticket hotline. Tony from the Cape is up. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, Pete?
Good, Tony. What's going on?
I was just listening to you, and about this Jets thing. If that was the Patriots, they would have taken a draft pick away from us.
Well, I know I said it earlier. I don't know if you heard. Or I said about 20 minutes ago or an hour ago, whenever I was going off about the story, I said, you know what? They can find this guy, Salalosi, $25,000 and suspend him the rest of the year. And I went down the list. I said, if that was ever Scott O'Brien or Josh Boyd or Bill O'Brien or Dante Scarnecchia or Ivan Fears or Pepper Johnson, I agree with you totally, Tony. They would have done – this would have been blown out. This would have been – They'd be on Time Magazine tomorrow. I agree with you. So
yeah,
and then this guy's crying on the podium today. No, I mean, I get no sympathy for it. Look, the penalty I think is sufficient, $25,000, and he doesn't get paid the rest of the year. Fine, but I agree with you. If that was a Patriot coach, I think all hell would have broken loose. I really believe that.
And that whole team down there was just falling apart.
I think they're gonna have a tough time winning the game the rest of the year. I really do.
I agree.
I think they get the Steelers at the Bears and at Buffalo. I mean, that's going to be – they're going to be – they may have to win the Buffalo game to get in the playoffs. I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, they got Buffalo at home, don't they?
Buffalo at home. But still.
Which they're not doing too well at home.
No, they're not. I mean, they lost to the Packers at home 9-0. They just lost to – I mean, if those numbers the Miami Dolphins put up were pathetic. And, you know, granted, there were two drop balls that really – I mean, Santonio Holmes and Cotchery – dropped two huge balls in that game. Holmes for a touchdown. That was just, you know, incredible how he dropped it. And Cotchery late in the game dropped one right over the middle that would have extended the drive, the final drive. But, you know, the Jets are what they are. They're an okay team. They're not great. And they're certainly not great. They're not even good. They're okay. They're okay.
And Tomlinson is turning into Tomlinson this time of year. He always disappears.
Well, you're right. And again, it's a reason why I keep telling people, forget what, you know, remember how good he looked in week 2, 3, and 4? Everybody said, oh, comeback player of the year, this, that, and the other thing. Well, that's why I tell people all the time, do not judge any team in the NFL until after Thanksgiving. Week 9, 10, and 11. That's when you start really noticing what you have. And we're finding out real quick what the Patriots are all about and what the Jets are all about, the Bears are all about, and a lot of these teams. It's just the Patriots are on a different level right now.
And you're looking at probably 32, 3 of the top 33 picks in the draft.
Yeah. And the youngest defense in the NFL, the age of barely 25. So, I mean, there is a lot to be happy about here for the Patriots in the future of this team. They have a lot of damage they're going to inflict on a lot of teams over the next, 4, 5, 6 years. I can tell you that.
Right. And I listened to some of the so-called experts when they draft linemen cornerbacks.
Yep.
These people don't know what they're talking about.
They don't. They don't. I mean, everybody here wanted Clay Matthews here so badly last year. And, I mean, look, Bill didn't think that particular play would fit well into the system. Now, he's doing great for Green Bay and all that stuff, and the people have him in the Hall of Fame already. And he's a great player in that system. That doesn't mean he'd be great over here, you know? So, I mean, it's just – and McCourty, everybody was crapping on Belichick when he picked McCourty. All I kept saying is, let's just wait and see. Let's give the guy a chance. See what we got here. We find out we might have the defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah. If he can continue to play and he's not going to be out, and that remains to be seen. I mean, I think he's leading the AFC in interceptions with 6. You got to figure if he's healthy, he's probably going to get another 1 or 2 before the season's over. And he's in the running for it.
Yeah, he is.
Whether he wins it or not, it doesn't really matter. You got an all around corner there for the next 10 years.
You certainly do. And the other guy I'm impressed with. I didn't think I'd ever say this now, and I said it last week too. But Arrington is playing so much better now than he was in the first 4 or 5 weeks. And Butler, we know, got benched. And even he has come around. He's made a couple of nice plays. And now, is it still perfect back there? No. But no team is perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But with guys like Mayo, The way the front seven are playing right now, and even though they may not have the sacks to show for it, because sacks to me are a very overrated stat, they've got a hell of a lot more pressure on the quarterback over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And, their defense is doing a good job. They are making plays. They have their turnover ratio is second in the league, only one behind Philadelphia. It actually may be ahead of them right now. They might be number one.
I think they're first now
over Philadelphia. So that is a huge stat that nobody ever wants to talk about.
Well, it's the youngest defense in the league. It's going to get even better. And with the draft picks that they have, they got six picks in the top three rounds. I mean, I expect some of them to get traded at the next year. But if they can get a stud pass rusher out of this draft, put it into that defense, plus getting the guys that got hurt early back for next year, what's that defense going to be in a year?
No, I know. And again, I don't think this team has peaked as a whole yet.
No.
I don't think this team has peaked as a whole yet. Thanks for the call, Tony. Appreciate it. That's the scary part. You know, people talk about the team speaking too soon or too late, too early, whatever. I'm not sure. I think this Patriot team could actually get better, if you can believe that. Let's get back to the some of the emails here. You can email me at webradiopatriots.com. Now, this guy Will sends me, he's very creative, sends me, hey, Pete, no Christmas spirit? It's not about Christmas spirit. I have tons of Christmas spirit. It has the Pete Shepherd Show, my graphic with the Grinch on it. No, I'm not talking. I love Christmas. I'm not one that, you know, I like it all. I'm talking about experiences in the mall. That's all. I'm not talking about, you know, Christmas spirit or how you feel about all that. I'm a big sucker for Christmas. I love it. It's one of my favorite times. Obviously, it's one of my favorite times of the year. I'm talking about experiences in the mall, you know, that invade my privacy, that inflict on my Christmas spirit. That's the problem. Hey, Pete, does this mean you will not be working as a mall cop after radio? Gene in Daytona. That seems like a pretty cool job. You get to go in those little scooter things. Let's continue with the emails. Hey, B-Lo. Second round of the playoffs this week. I am going against a 12-1 opponent. Let me see. Oh, no, this is for the fantasy guy. I'll leave it for him. I don't do fantasy football. No, I know a lot of people do. Hey, Pete, can we get back to football? What are the latest updates on the McCourty injury? And you see him playing this weekend. I told you. What day is it, folks? Tuesday. As far as Ian Rappaport, the last latest report I saw from him is that McCourty's injury is not serious. So I don't know. The injury report comes out on Wednesday. What the hell makes you think? You think Belichick calls me and leaves me a text and says, hey, Pete, McCourty's going to play. Feel free to share with your listeners. Trust me, we're working on the information, but you're not going to get any. I mean, the latest reports are is that it's not a serious injury. All right, back to Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Here's Carl in Montreal. Hello, Carl.
Hey, Pete, man. I just found out about you guys a couple months ago. I'm a big Pats fan. And I think you are the man.
Thanks.
I mean, everybody on that station is, but you just take it to another level, man, and I love you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. How you doing?
I know you watched the game with your dad, so I wish your dad, the 78-year-old Mr. Shepherd, the best, too.
Yeah, well, I watched the Thanksgiving Day game with him against
Detroit. Actually, I didn't know about McCourty. I'm just looking at the Patriots defensive snaps that I'm seeing here. He only played 15 out of 45.
Yeah, he came out early in the game. He fell on his rib wrong, and you know, and there was no sense. They didn't want a chance of bringing him back in. And
what about Ron Brace? Because he left the game, and he never came back in either. He's playing like a stud, too.
Yeah, he was. And you know, the Patriots are a bit banged up on the defensive line right now. And they actually today, I wrote it down, they signed defensive lineman Lewis Leonard, who's 26 years old. He's out of Fresno State, so you know Belichick has a connection with Fresno State, so he knows the guy. Or of him. He's 26 years old, 6'4", 325 pounds, because Brace and Mike Wright was banged up. Pryor's banged up.
Eric Boyle looked great, though, on Sunday.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he was coming off the left side, and he was bringing havoc on quite a few plays.
He was. I mean, guys like that. Fletcher, another linebacker nobody knows about. And that's what I'm saying. It's little guys like that and guys like Sammy Morris on offense are doing the little things, getting the short yards, making some key blocks. Those guys aren't, you know, it's all part of this wonderful thing happening here. And some of those guys, I think, deserve a lot of credit. I mentioned Sammy Morris today because I think a lot of guys in his position would be bitching and moaning about going what basically was from number two on the depth chart to number four. But he still comes in and does his job. He doesn't complain. He just you know, goes merrily along and does what he's supposed to do. Doesn't care that Woodhead's ahead of him now on the depth chart. Knows
great
Ben Jarvis Green Ellison
too.
Yeah. So
phenomenal.
I mean,
a lot of blocks on the kick returns and a lot mm-hmm. of tackles in the kick return game. Now, I just want to throw one thing out here. Pete,
sure.
2007,
yes.
First 8 games of the year, mm-hmm. we were crushing teams. I mean, every game was over at halftime. And it started getting tough with that Baltimore game there where we squeaked that one out.
Yep.
And you know what? The Giants game, they were down, I think, 11 in the third, and then they ended up winning 38-35. Yep. Giants get that backdoor cover there at the end.
Yep.
You know what? And they had some trouble with San Diego. Brady, then you know,
Maroney
and Junior Seau probably were the stars of that game if you look at the tape.
Well, here's the thing. Now, here's the problem. And I heard people on the are you still there?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
People on the radio around here last couple of days have been saying, well, there was a significant decline in trend in points and everything else. And here's the problem. They scored 31 against Jacksonville, which I think is more than enough, and it was freezing cold that day in the playoff.
28-17, Pete.
Was it 28-17? All right, 30. There might have been 31 the year, but whatever. I think Brady was like, what do you have, like 2 incompletions that game?
Is it that was something game? Like 25 to 27.
Okay. Also,
was a drop
also
by Welker in the
but here's
zone.
The thing. If you remember in that playoff game and also against the Chargers, those were probably Lawrence Maroney's two finest moments. And if you also remember the Charger game, and I know this for a fact, I know in the last quarter, the Patriots ran the ball. I think they had possession of like 10 and a half minutes in the fourth quarter on one drive. 10 and a half minutes. So, of course, they won by 9, but they didn't need to. The situation of the game did not dictate for them to chuck up 40 points in that game. It was another freezing cold day here in Foxborough, which we've seen them score points before. That was Maroney's one of his finest moments. They basically ran the clock out on San Diego that day. They didn't
Brady
need to put up a whole
– Brady got picked in the first half a couple of times, I think. He wasn't his greatest game. But, you know, I think, and I might get criticized for saying it, I think our defense, I trust this defense better because this defense is peaking now. They're obviously a lot faster. They don't have those four linebackers that, you know, are Hall of Famers, most of them. But, I mean, they were old and they were getting slower. That first drive against the Giants, they took 10 and a half minutes off the clock in the first quarter. Yep. We couldn't stop them.
Yeah, I know.
So I think I wish we had Richard Seymour there on the end, but we don't. But I love Gerard Warren. This guy, man, I don't know where he came out of. He's phenomenal. How about Vince Wilfork in the passing game right now? Because we don't have our Mike Wright and Pryor there. Wilfork rushing the passer? He's pretty good.
He is. He's been Vince Wilfork, that's another thing. It's a great point. It's another reason. Another guy who doesn't get a lot of credit. Not enough as he should. And I know he's having another all-pro year. I think he is. But the guy's moved around. Bill has put him all over the place on this line. Left, right, center. You know, he's dropped back sometimes, and he's rushed. I mean, it is amazing what Vince Wilfork has done. He's nimble. As big as he is, he's nimble. But I agree with you. The cornerbacks and the whole defense right now is just coming together. And you could see a progression for the most part every week, except the Cleveland game. You could see a progression, what was happening. And I think because they had such big leads in all these games and all this net yardage piled up on them, and made them just look a lot worse than they were. But I want to get back to the playoff games last year. I heard Felger on the radio and stuff yesterday talking about, you know, well, you know, there was a progression in 2007. The Patriots, you know, well, at the end of the season, they blew out the Bills pretty badly, and they scored a ton of points against the Giants. Then they scored 28 against Jacksonville, and they scored 21 against San Diego. But that game, and again, Brady did have two picks, and I think one was in the end zone, if not both of them, if I remember correctly. But they also ran the ball. Lawrence Maroney ran out of his mind those two games against Jacksonville and San Diego. So they didn't need to put up all those points. They were just trying to kill it. If they wanted to score 40 in that game, they could have scored 40. They didn't have to. Lawrence Maroney single-handedly just about, with the help of the offensive line, they ran the clock out. They had the ball 10 minutes in the fourth quarter. It was unbelievable. I remember talking about it on the post-game show. Because people then were like, well, you know, if they can't put up to, you know, this point, how are they going to face do in the Super Bowl? It was irrelevant. It was irrelevant. You know, that's why you can't. It's all about the way the situation of the game dictates how the Patriots are going to play. So you saw in the second half yesterday, you know, against the Bears. I mean, they ran the ball pretty effectively. They killed the clock. They had possession. It was crazy. So, you know, you can't just because they averaged. You know, the average 39 points now doesn't mean that's going to necessarily dictate that way in the playoffs. And if they don't, it doesn't mean that their offense is bad or people have caught up to them. You know, it's not that easy. So if they're up by a couple of touchdowns, they're going to try and run the clock out. I mean, you've seen the drives they've had lately, the last five games. They've had the time of possession has been well in their favor. Well in their favor. They've had, you know, anywhere between 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 plays on offense, some of these drives the last three or four games. All right, now what we're going to do, time now to, well, just a couple of minutes, we're going to get to our picks, my picks. Last week, I think I went 9-7. Not too bad. Started off real good. A couple of games screwed me, as always. But we're going to get to my picks. Do I have my pick music? So I do actually have to get out of here at 5:45 today because I have some place I have to be. Believe it or not. And it's not back at the mall, trust me. So here we go. I will pick the Patriots game at last. My picks for the week. Gather your children around. Light a candle and get ready for Pete's Picks in week number 15 in the National Football League. Here we go. Thursday night, Chargers home. What a pathetic game this is. Home against San Francisco. Chargers, 8.5-point favorites. Still hard to figure this team out. I knew they were going to blow out Kansas City because Castle wasn't playing. I know I picked Castle last week. I mean, I picked the Chiefs last week. But I wasn't sure how. I thought he actually might. They said he might play, but I should have known better and knew he would not play. He may not play this week either. But San Francisco plus 8.5 gets the nod here. It's crazy the 49ers are still in it somehow, some way. They are still in the hunt here for a playoff spot. Next up, the Rams. They are 1.5-point favorites against Kansas City. I got to go with the Rams here. I know they look crappy at times against New Orleans this weekend. And there were a couple picks in the end zone. That kind of stuff happened. Something about the Rams, though. I like them. That is a tough spot for Kansas City. I don't think Castle's going to play this week either. So I am going with the Rams here, -1.5, to get the job done at home. Tennessee is home against Houston. I just don't get Tennessee. They're a lost team. I don't get the Texans either. They like to get down by 3 and 4 touchdowns and come back and try to win it at the end. And this week they might do it. I'm going to go with Houston. I think Tennessee is in shambles right now. Indianapolis is home against Jacksonville. What a game this is going to be. I like Indy to win, but Jacksonville to cover. Love the Jaguars in this spot. They always play Indy tough, especially in their place, too. But I like Indy to squeak this one out, but Jacksonville to cover. Carolina's home against Arizona. What a pathetic game this is. I'll take Carolina -2.5 because Arizona's just that bad. I'll take Carolina. Cincinnati is home against the Browns. The Browns had a chance and should have beaten the Bills. That was horrible. Cincinnati, again, I will say for the 11th consecutive week, how Marvin Lewis still has a job, I don't know. I'm taking the Browns, +1.5. Miami is home against the Buffalo Bills. 5.5-point favorite. Bills are playing better, but not this week. Miami gets the nod there. Excuse me. 1 second while I sip my water.
You got a little frog in my throat.
A little bit. Giants playing real well. They're home against Philadelphia. Wow. Interesting game right here. I'm going to take the Giants. The Giants have been playing very well lately. They look very similar to what they did at the end of 2007.
G-Man!
I'm taking the Giants over Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles. Giants get the nod there. Should be a hell of a game. Dallas is home against Washington. They're getting a 6-point favorite. The Cowboys, 6-point favorite against Washington.
How about them Cowboys?
Redskins are another team, tough team to, you know, sometimes they look good, they look bad. They missed extra points. They should have beaten Tampa Bay. I don't know. I'm taking Dallas here. I like Dallas -6 here. Tampa Bay is 6-point favorite at home also against Detroit. The Lions on the road. You know, they hang in there. The Lions hang in there, but I don't see it getting it done. They are just the Lions. That's why they've won like two games this century. So I'm taking Tampa Bay. Baltimore, 2.5-point favorite at home against New Orleans. This should be one hell of a game. Baltimore, 2.5-point favorite at home against New Orleans. And I don't know why. Something tells me the Saints are going to win this game. Call me crazy, go nuts. I'm taking the Saints +2.5 in that game. Atlanta is at Seattle. They're favored by 6. The Seahawks play much better at home. 6-point head start's good enough for me. I'll take Seattle +6. Atlanta wins. I like Seattle, though. Pittsburgh is home against the Jets. 52-0 Steelers. Mark it down. Jets are done. Done. Done like dinner. Done. Pittsburgh -6. Could be 66. Doesn't matter. Jets are done. At Oakland, the Raiders are favored by 6.5 over Denver. Denver's another lost team. I'll take the Raiders. That line is way too low for that game. Denver's a lost cause. Oakland, minus 6.5. They get the call. Monday night, Minnesota's home again on Monday Night Football against Chicago. The Bears against the Vikings. Who will play quarterback? Oh, my goodness. I don't know. This is a tough one to call. Both teams are not that good. I'll go with the Vikings. I'll take the Vikings. Brett Favre's one last hurrah. Proved to the world. I'm just not a big fan of the Bears and what they've accomplished. And I just think the Vikings at home. Hopefully Tavares Jackson, might be in the better player if he can play. I'm not sure what Favre's status is going to be, but it's Tuesday, so we have 6 days. I'm picking the Vikings right now, reluctantly. And finally, the Patriots are 10.5-point favorites over Green Bay. Now, here's the thing. If Rodgers plays, then I would take the Packers plus the 10.5. But if Rodgers doesn't play, then I'm taking the Patriots by 30.5. Okay? So that's how we're playing it. It's two lines for me. Right now, the official line is 10.5 Patriots. I think they're assuming Rodgers is not going to be able to play. That's going to do it for this week of the Pete Shepherd Show. Enjoy your holiday shopping, those of you who dare venture out to the malls. And I will chat with you again next Tuesday. And hopefully we'll be talking about another glorious Patriot win over the Green Bay Packers here in Foxborough. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.